Genesis chapter 22. Genesis chapter 22. And we'll read verses 1 to 3. And then we'll go down to verses 17 and 18. Genesis chapter 22. We'll read verses 1 to 3. And then we'll shoot down to 17 and 18. Bible says, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham, and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went to the place which God had told him." And then in verses 17 and 18, it says, "That in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." And let's pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for our great salvation. Thank you, Lord, for this church. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Tonight, help us also to experience the blessings, the multiplication, and possessing our enemies' territory, Lord, from us just being faithful and obedient to you. And speak to our hearts, help us to respond. In Jesus' most precious name we pray. Amen. When we obey God's voice, my pastor, Dr. Creed, has told us many times that people have asked him through the years, "How did you build Independent Baptist Church?" And his answer, he says, has always been, "I really don't know. I've tried to just keep Jesus Christ at the center of my life, and God's taken care of all the details." Amen. Folks, none of us are perfect. Dr. Creed doesn't think he's perfect. He looks really sharp, and I'm not making fun of my preacher. He's a nice-looking man, dignified, tall, white hair, and he comes across as being real sophisticated, but he doesn't think he's important. He doesn't think he's sophisticated. He's really quiet because he's shy. He doesn't know what to say. If you were a missionary, Brother Doggett, and you were in a meeting with him somewhere, he would say, "Hey, Brother Doggett, good to see you. Why don't you come sit with us?" And you go sit at his table, and after you get your food and sitting there eating, sometimes he won't say anything to you, hardly at all. The whole time you're sitting there, he just doesn't know what to say. And so he's not a big wig. Have you ever been with Dr. Creed, Brother Doggett, where he takes and pinches the back of your leg? There, pinch the back of your leg. He does that. I've been in a church van. And I don't know if you remember, I don't think they make them like this anymore, but there used to be a lever on the side of the seat that you could pull it up, and the whole seat would just go all the way back. He loved doing that to me, and boy, he thought it was funny. I didn't think it was very funny, but he thought it was very funny. He does a lot of crazy things. Now, there's a right place for it, and he's real picky on. He thinks there's things that should be done just with guys and the girls. He wants to be real appropriate, but he's seen God bless. In a great way, God used him as the director in the bus ministry at Tennessee Temple. He's written things. His messages, I think he took and threw them away. I wished he would have taken and written books about it, but he said he didn't want somebody taking and idolatrizing his messages, making a big thing about what he did. And he would rather go into church, running 25 people or so, and try to be a blessing to them much more than going and preaching to a group of 25,000 people. But saying all that, God's blessed them. God's blessed them in a great way. And seen many, many pastors and many missionaries go out of the church there. And his answer is the same as what God said about Abraham here. In verse 17 and 18, again, it says that in blessing, I will bless thee. And in multiplying, I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand of which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, we went down to the Dominican Republic, and we were under a lot of pressure when we went down. because Dr. Creed said, Steve already speaks Spanish, which I did. His wife is Spanish-speaking. Noemi's from the country of El Salvador. And I was started a Spanish ministry here for 6 years, and not years of experience, of course. But in the Dominican, everybody speaks Spanish. So Dr. Creed, we would go around. He resigned the independent, and I resigned the Spanish ministry the same day. That wasn't planned, by the way. I didn't know he was going to resign, but just so happened, he called me into his office the day before he resigned and said, I just wanted you to know I'm going to be resigning tomorrow, too. I said, what? And he said, yeah, I'm going to be director for BIMI for the Caribbean. And I said, wait a minute, I'll be in the Caribbean. And he laughed, and so we went around from church to church, and he talked about how God is really going to use Steve, and probably in just a couple of years, he'll be running 200 people. Well, that didn't happen. We had just a handful of kids in the beginning, and we really struggled for a long time, but God did bless, and now you heard in the DVD presentation that we started 7 churches, we started 12 churches and placed a pastor at another church that needed a pastor, started 4 Bible institutes. Now you can hear me preaching. You can look at me and think, some people say, Brother Sidler, don't you live in the Caribbean? Yeah, why are you so white? Because I walk in the shade. Amen. I don't want to get skin cancer there in the Dominican. And I have to wear a hat to make sure I don't get my bald spot burnt. That's usually what burns most. But God has us in the Caribbean, and there's nothing special about me. This is a secret. If there's any secret, I could say, well, I think maybe, but and with no pride, I'm acting kind of that way. But I could say, well, I think Brother Dorsey, maybe this helped us, and maybe that helped us, and I could tell a younger missionary, I think you need to keep this in mind and the other in mind. But really, when push comes to shove, there's no secret other than just being obedient to what God would have you do. Amen. Being obedient to what God would have you do. Again, in verse number 18, it says, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Because thou hast obeyed my voice, he said, I bless you, I'll multiply you, and I will allow you to possess the gate of your enemies. Folks, we almost every church that we have there in the Dominican, we own the land now. The land is expensive. I don't know how we've been able to get land. We put up buildings on most of the places. Some of the places just have a little lean-to on it. 2 of the churches do. But at least it's they don't have to pay any rent. Amen? And most of them don't pay any electricity. They just hook right into the power line. Amen? And just don't lick your fingers while you're hooking it up. And it can have a problem. But God has allowed us to possess the gates of our enemies. Not because anything special we are, that we intimidate people, just because we've obeyed God's voice. Amen? I wonder tonight how you would take and apply the message to you. Most of you probably will never be a missionary. Most of you probably will never visit the Dominican Republic. Brother Doggett was talking, and let me identify with you. I know that the States is nothing like it was almost 40 years ago when I got saved. It is hard going out soul winning. I went to Waldorf with my uncle, Paul Arcan, and knocked doors and some condominiums. Brother Dorsey, I'm not afraid, and I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel of Jesus Christ is power unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Amen. But let me tell you, I was scared to death. I wasn't used to people not being gracious. I wasn't used to people not taking tracts. I wasn't used to people taking and throwing the tract down. I wasn't used to having door slam in my face and people cuss me out. In Dominican, people are rough. They may have tattoos all up and down their arms and have their shirt buttoned all the way down, just one little button at the bottom, and this one big old chest hair wrapping around a necklace with a cross on it. And drinking a beer and playing dominoes and listening to the merengue music. But they want a track. And when you come back a half hour later, they still have the track in their hand, sometimes reading it. And that's different. Folks, I know it's hard here, but there are some folks here that do not have Jesus Christ. And the Bible says there is no peace unto the wicked. Amen. Ephesians 2:14, for he is our peace. With Jesus Christ is still the answer. And many missions fields, when missionaries begin to go, The missionaries would say, well, you can't do what you do in the States and the Dominican Republic. When I went to the Dominican, I was told we couldn't have a soul-winning church. We couldn't baptize people right away. We could not have good conservative music. I could not teach modesty on women. We couldn't preach the whole counsel of God. Amen. I decided we were going to do it. Now, I'm not real flashy. I may not be very good at it, but praise the Lord, we're doing it. And God is blessing. Amen. But now, in these times, and please don't misunderstand me, I am not better. And you have struggles, I have struggles, but I come to the States now, and in the States, churches say, well, you can't soul win here anymore. Huh. You can't baptize people right anymore. You can't have good music. You can't do this. You can't do that. Hey, amen. And I think sometimes there's things that we don't have to always do everything the same way. Amen. Don't misunderstand me. Bible's Bible. Amen. Right is right. Holiness is holiness. Amen. We can still do right. Amen. I don't know what God would have you do, but I believe God is still in the blessing business. Amen. I believe God is still in the multiplying business. I believe God can still give us our enemies' gates. And I believe that the world can be blessed through the Gospel Light Baptist Church. I believe that the world is being blessed through the Mount Calvary Baptist Church in Quito, Sueño. Just because a gringo that was born on Andrews Air Force Base, grew up in Akakik, Temple Hill, and Oxon Hill, down in the Piscataway Road, close to St. Mary's Catholic Church, a guy named Steve Sidler, who went to the Dominican Republic, not very talented, whiter than most people there in the Dominican, but God has used him, amen, because he obeyed God's voice. I wonder if you will obey what God wants you to do. Maybe it's reading your Bible, amen. We're going through again, through our Bible maybe this year. Maybe, I don't know what plan you use, what you do, but you can read your Bible. Amen. And God can bless you. God can multiply you. God can give you your enemy's gates. And God can bless the entire world just through your faithfulness. One of our men, the older men, I said, his name is Felo. His name, the reason we call him Felo, because his name is Angel Maria, or Angel Mary. A lot of the Catholic folks there, they're called their boy Mary. How'd you like to be named Mary? So we call him Felo. Went through our Bible Institute. A five-year program took him 10 years. Felo still can't read halfway. When he reads the scripture, he messes words up and really struggles. He has a couple of doctors in his church. He has some school teachers in his church. He has some lawyers in his church. We don't have any doctors yet, do we, in our church? But Felo has some more sophisticated people. But Felo can't half read or write. But Felo has started two churches. Amen. Amen. What's the secret to the Lord using Felo? Felo said, I'll obey. I'll go where God wants me to go. Amen. Felo was the head deacon of a Pentecostal church. And they told him he wasn't really saved because he never spoke tongues. And he said every time the time it came around to vote for the head deacon again, they always voted for him to be the head deacon, although he wasn't saved. And he really wasn't saved. He really wasn't. He got saved when he came to our church. And as a matter of fact, I thought he was already saved and baptized. And when we ordained him, they asked when he was baptized. And I thought that he was baptized by the Dorsey at our church. And he said, no, I was baptized in the Pentecostal church. And so we went ahead and ordained him. But in between the ordination service and the meal, I went back in the baptistry and baptized Brother Felo. Amen. And God is blessing him in a great way. But folks, when we obey God's voice, amen. If we obey God's voice, God will bless us. Now, when we obey God's voice, God many times asks great sacrifices of us. Amen. In verse number 1 here in Genesis, it says, and it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. In Spanish, that says probar, or test. God did test or tempt Abraham. Folks, could you imagine having to take and sacrifice your kid? Now, he wasn't really going to kill. He wasn't going to allow him to kill him, but he wanted him to be willing. Of course, we knew that Jesus Christ himself came and died on a cross for our sins. Amen. That's what that whole thing was about. But he did want him to be willing. Are you willing to do whatever God would have you do? You know, Brother Dorsey, how many people have called us crazy? We had this guy out in Washington State when we were on deputation. And you're entitled to your opinion. and you're entitled to take and interpret sometimes things in the Bible the way you want to. But Moses in the Bible, Moses was married to a black woman. Amen? I'm not saying you ought to marry a Chinese or whatever. I'm married to a Latina woman. I never thought much of that because I love Lucy. I thought if Ricky could do it, I can do it. Amen? And so Noemi and I were out in Washington State. And I'm saying this for a reason. We were in Washington State, and we really struggled. I had a lot of negative things happen all through the trip. Going out, my daughter Angela was born with a cleft lip and palate, and we didn't have any money. I told the Lord if he didn't give me a certain amount of money by a certain time, I was going to quit, because how could I go to the mission field if God wasn't going to provide? And so I got to this church in Washington State. We went soul winning all day. In California, we visited all day and went out to eat. And the pastor went and got his food and went and sat down and ate. And me and the guy that was helping me drive, we got a glass of water. We didn't have any food. We didn't have any money. Didn't have gas money. And I needed some money. I'm not here, folks, to ask you for money. I'm here to give a report of what God's doing in Dominican. Amen. Many times it's a blessing to me, Brother Dorsey, to be able to say, Brother Nash, can I take you out to dinner? I can do that too. Amen? But we were there, and after going through the bad experience in California, Noemi wasn't with me. After we prayed for the food, he did pay for it. He said, Brother Sidler, let me tell you why your daughter was born with a cleft lip and palate. I said, why? He said, because you have a mixed marriage, and God is punishing you. Well, my mother-in-law's black belt karate. I'm just kidding. I wish I would have. You know, when you imagine that, I imagined it, but I didn't do anything. And I wish I can go back in the past I may have left the mission field during that part, because I probably would have punched him right in his nose. Amen. But I left there, and he gave me an envelope. And the guy in California gave me a $25 check after soul winning with him all day Saturday. He criticized me to his buddy. Said the message was all right that night, but I didn't care for it too much in the morning. Gave me $25 to get up the road. I thought that Los Angeles was really close to Washington State because it was only a couple states up. It was far. It was far. I don't remember how we made it, but he gave me this check. I stuck it in my pocket, and I thought, thank you for the $25. I had told the Lord that I needed $700 by a particular date. He didn't give it. I wept and cried and said, God, I'll still go to the Dominican, but I don't understand why this is happening to my daughter. I don't understand why we don't have the money we need now. And how am I going to take my family across the ocean to a foreign country if you're not providing here? But I told the Lord I would still go. And as I was driving down the road from that church going to another church in Montana, I got my glasses out, and I pulled the check out, opened the envelope up, and there was a check in there for $700, exactly what I asked the Lord for. Well, I had to be willing, Brother Doggett, to still go. And I was willing to still go. I sure didn't want to, but God blessed. The next church we were in, and folks, I wasn't looking everywhere we went for money. But we needed money then. We really needed money. The next church we were in, Evangelist Tom Williams attended the church. The pastor was working construction job, didn't get a salary. That church, when we left, gave us an offering of $1,500. Now, the issue isn't, I've been in churches that we got $50 or $25, and we didn't need any more than that. And God blessed. Are you understanding me? Please don't put a monetary figure on whether God is blessing or not. But God tested us. Are you willing to do whatever God wants you to do with no conditions? Amen. Whatever He would have you do. We're different. You have different issues in your life. But are you willing, if you know that that's what God wants you to do, are you willing to do whatever He would have you do? I don't know of anything more God can ask of us than to allow our children to suffer. Amen? And that's what Abraham had to do. Secondly tonight, not only does God ask us big sacrifices sometimes when we obey His voice, but God also makes us willing. Amen? He makes us willing. Look at the end of verse number 1. Abraham's, and he said, Behold, here I am. Amen? What do you want, Lord? I'll go. I'll do what you want me to do. Before your time, Brother Doggett, at Independent, there's a fellow named Ralph Dahm. And Brother Dahm sang in a choir with us. And when we would sing a choir opener, one of the choir openers was, "Here am I, send me. Here am I, send me." And Brother Dahm, he would sing, "Here am I, send Steve. Here am I, send Steve." Folks, so it sure is nice to see somebody else do it. Amen? It sure is nice to have missionaries come in. I did not want to be a missionary, Andrew. I thought, if I'm a missionary, I have to go to India. And I could see myself in India climbing over a sand dune and trying to get some water, and a camel guy coming by with a curtain in front of his face. I know I'm mixing a lot of stuff together, a lot of religions, with a dot on his forehead and a big turban and cutting my head off with a machete. And I figured I wouldn't even get a quarter pounder with cheese out of it because they didn't have McDonald's there in India. And really, I did not want to be a missionary. I surrendered my life at youth conference in Hammond, Indiana, to do whatever God would have me do. But shortly after, I said, "But I will not be a missionary." Well, shortly after that, an evangelist named Ron Comfort came to our church, and he preached. And his whole first night message was about India. I thought, where did they get this guy? This isn't a missions conference. This is an evangelistic meeting. What is this thing with India? Well, God wanted me to be willing to go to India. And I went forward that night and I said, "God, if you want me to go to India, I'll go." Now, God didn't want me to go to India, but he wanted me to be willing. And I can tell you this, whatever God wants, he wants you to be willing. Amen. We may not know what he wants. We may know exactly what he wants, but we're scared to death. But when we obey God's voice, God also not only will he ask us to make a big sacrifice, not only will he make us willing, but God also would put people in our lives to help us. Amen. Look in verse number 3. Verse number 3, it says, "And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him." Now, I'm not going to pretend that this verse is teaching what I'm going to say now, but I do believe with all my heart that what I've already said is true. If you and I will obey God's voice, God will put the people in our lives to do what he would have us do. I really believe, and I'm not looking for gossip of anything in the past. I did not know Brother Nash. Amen? I didn't know Brother Nash from Adam, other than I met him in one of the pastoral meetings that Brother Rick Connor had. And Brother Doggett mentioned to me, "Brother Nash wants to make a mission trip." And I knew the church was still supporting us, and praise the Lord for that. And upon high recommendations of Brother Doggett, and of course I was taking the money. Amen. There is nothing heretical about the Nash family or this church. But what a blessed time we had in Dominican Republic. Amen. And I believe that with Brother and Mrs. Nash is coming here, and many of you were here already, God has brought other people here. Amen. And you're working together to be a blessing to each other. Amen. How many have been blessed here at this church? Amen. Don't you believe that God has put his hand upon Pastor Nash? And God has put you in his life to help him serve God, to do what God would have him do with his life. Amen. Tonight, I don't know what God wants you to do, but God has all the help that you need. Amen. Abraham went to take Isaac to do what God had commanded him to do, but Isaac had two servants with him. One of my friends in the Dominican Republic, Brother Jose Aguero, he told me that in the Dominican Republic, he is glad about... Let me move on to the next point instead of getting into that because of time. When we obey God's voice, God sends us where he wants us. Amen? God sends us where he wants us. In verse number 3 in the very end, it says, "And he rose up and went unto the place which God had told him." You know, there are many missionaries, and I'm not looking at a gossip about missionary, but many missionaries that raise their support, spend years on deputation, have churches invest thousands of dollars in them and never make it to the field. And you know, in 23 years we've been in the Dominican Republic, and there may be more, there probably are more, we know of 21 independent Baptist missionary families that have come and gone. Most of them have come and stayed no longer than 4 years. In 4 years, they're gone teaching in a Bible college how to be a missionary. What a joke. Amen? What a joke. Now, I know in a few instances people really had to leave, and I'm nobody's judge. But Brother Jose Aguero, what I was saying, he said, "Brother Sidler, I am glad when missionaries come." He said, "But I'm getting tired of seeing missionaries come and getting Dominican people excited. We're going to start a church. Boy, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to do the other." And 4 years later, they're throwing in the towel and leaving. Folks, we need to be willing to go where God wants us. Amen? Don't get excited tonight about something God wants you to do and then throw in the towel in a couple weeks. We may have to pay a price. Amen? When we obey God's voice, God also, as many times, will allow us to see from afar the place of his service. Look at verse number 4. It says, "Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off." Can you imagine what a scary sight that was for Abraham? Can you imagine seeing the place in the distance where he was going to sacrifice, was going to literally kill his son because God told him to do it? Folks, we have seen some things. We've done some. I went forward at youth conference in the summer of 1982, and I told God I would go wherever he wanted me to go. There were around 300 teenagers on the platform. And Dr. Hiles looked and he said, "Now, this decision means you need to go to a good Bible college." He said, "I know a good Bible college. This decision means that you need to marry a godly woman. This means," and all the things he went through, like 10 or 20 things. I said, "You didn't say all that before we went on the platform." And I remember standing on the platform thinking, "Where am I going to be? What am I going to do?" And that's why later I said, "No, I will not be a missionary." And in Dominican, we were criticized, Brother Dog. I don't know if you ever heard people saying that Steve Sidler should not be doing this, Steve Sidler shouldn't be doing that. What business is it of other people what I should or shouldn't be doing in the Dominican Republic when they're not willing to go? Amen. Well, I might as well just lock the doors to the church and sell everything we have in the Dominican, come back and work in Walmart. And there's nothing wrong with working in Walmart, by the way. But folks, when we obey God's voice, many times we see glimpses in the future, and those glimpses are a very scary thing. But let's not quit. Amen. Let's stay faithful. Let's do what God would have us do. Because when we do obey God's voice, God also many times will allow us to go at it alone. If you look in verse number 5, it says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." Now, we love the Dominican Republic, Brother Doggett, and don't misunderstand me. But Brother Doggett in the Dominican, "Hey, man, this is great. Everybody takes tracks, and boy, here in the Dominican, you can have coconut juice anytime you want. Well, you can do this, you can do that, you can go by the beach, and boy, this is great." Did I make sure I have my tickets and my passport here? Okay, when we go to the airport next week, it's different when you're going back. Amen. And when you go, there we are alone. And folks, it's a scary thing. I have no idea anything negative about anybody here. Pastor did not share any negative things about anybody here today. Amen. But Brother Dog got mentioned about going soul winning. As I said again, I'm scared too to knock on doors here in the States. But I still go. Amen. Still hand tracks out. Still witness to people. And folks, the thing is, you got to do it alone many times. Amen. I would feel bad, Brother Dog. Someone said, "Well, it's been 3 years, brother. I can't keep saying why don't you do the talking?" When I started pastoring at Independent, I used to go with Brother Tello. And when we would go, Brother Tello's a Peruvian guy. We'd go to the house, and I said, "Brother Tello, why don't you talk here? You talk Spanish better, and I'll just pray." And so we did that for several weeks. And finally, we went, Mrs. Nash, to one house, and Brother Tello said, "Are you 100% sure if you were dying today, you would go to heaven?" "No." "Can I show you from the Bible how you can know that you can go to heaven?" "Yes." And he said, okay. He said, you know what? Why don't I let Pastor Steve... Pastor Steve will share with you. Now, I wasn't ashamed of the gospel. I was ashamed of the way I spoke Spanish or the way I didn't speak Spanish. And Spanish, pecador, is sinner. But if you just pronounce it just a little bit different, you can say pescador. I used to call, and that's fish, fisher. So I used to call, I said, instead of calling people a sinner, I would call them a fisher. Amen. And I would all the times be saying bad words and didn't know. And so I went ahead and I witnessed at that house. And guess what? A man got saved. The next house we went to, I said, Brother Tello, I'll talk here. And guess who talked? Every time we went with Brother Tello, I talked. I realized that even with broken Spanish, God could still use me. Amen. And tonight, there's some things we're going to have to do alone. And God really can bless us. Amen. But we need to be willing to do it. I don't know what it is that God wants you to do, but if you will let God use you, He will use you. Amen. And when we obey God's voice, He'll also still permit times of doubts and questions. And verse number 7 says, and Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire for the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? What a hard question. What a hard question. I remember hearing the story of Stephen Wesson when they brought his dad in from drowning at the beach. And he couldn't tell for sure if he was gone. And they laid him on the beach and were trying to resuscitate him, get the water out of his lungs. He said, Dad, don't leave me. Dad, don't die. There was a little boat next to where all the teenagers were trying to do whatever they could to help. And they couldn't go out in the water. They would have drowned. It was a bad riptide. But nobody knew that the two cheapo, wicked men were more worried about being offered money than to save somebody that was going to drown. How do you tell Stephen it was God's will for your dad to die? It was God's will for him to go to heaven. I don't have the answers for your problems, for my problems. There still are some question times, amen? Some hard things go on in our lives. We've had people that have done terrible things to us through the years. But you know, I've never met anybody that has done more terrible things to me than I've done to my Lord. Amen. When you point one finger at somebody, 10 fingers are pointing at you. Amen. I have a lot of questions, but in the bottom line is, I don't know why God uses me at all, why I'm not just burning in hell. When we obey God's voice, God also expects us to use the altar. Look at verse number 9. And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. I know, folks, that we don't see the New Testament altar that we use in our churches anywhere in the Bible. I haven't seen. But it's all over the Bible, the principle of the altar. Amen. And Brother Dorsey was getting ready to look for some verses because I said that. So I'm getting ready to go, amen. He's preaching heresy. No, the principle of the altar is all through the Bible. Now, just like Abraham had to take his son and present him on the altar, we're challenged time and time again to make decisions at the altar. The biggest decision of my life was in the living room. I mentioned a deacon at Independent, A.T. George was his name, won me to the Lord. All the other big decisions of my life, I made at the altar. And when we obey God's voice, usually it's a big decision that we make at the altar. I know we can make a big decision driving down the road. I know we can be driving a motorcycle and be rebellious to the Lord, and you're not rebellious to the Lord because you drive a motorcycle. But you could hit a big semi truck and be flying through the air. And as you're flying through the air, I know you can say, God, if you allow me to live, I'll be a missionary. I'll do this. I'll do the other. But tonight, folks, we need to be willing to use the altar. Amen. What's wrong with talking to God after He's talked to you? What's wrong with making a decision at the altar when He's already spoken to you about it? When we obey God's voice, He'll continue speaking to us in difficult times. I mentioned Stephen Stephen, Kimberly, Ashlyn, Caitlin, Mrs. Wesson, they have to continue on every day in their lives. In verse number 11, says, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said again, as he did in the very beginning, here I am, or here am I. Mrs. Wesson says that Kimberly hides in the closet, literally, and reads her Bible and prays and seeks the Lord's face. Mrs. Wesson said, I believe my daughter Kimberly probably walks with the Lord more than I do. And I know Mrs. Wesson walks with the Lord. Folks, in the difficult times, God continues speaking to us if we allow Him to. Amen. And folks, I'm not going to say anything else tonight, but let's look other than this. Let's look again real quick to Genesis 22. Genesis 22. You know, when a pastor says that he's done or is not going to say anything else, that means absolutely nothing. Amen. Usually. But in Genesis 22, in verse 17 again, says, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed, as the stars of heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. God will bless us. God will multiply us. God will allow us to possess our enemies' gates, and God will allow the entire earth to be blessed just because of one simple, good-for-nothing boy that was born on Andrews Air Force Base, grew up in Akakik and in this general area. God is blessing my life in a great way just because I said, I'll go. I didn't say, here am I, send Brother Dalm. I said, here am I, send Steve. Amen. Will you do what God wants you to do tonight? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing my life, my family. Thank you, Lord, for multiplying our ministry in the Dominican, allowing us to see so many churches started and souls saved. Thank you, Lord, for giving us a foothold in areas that no one else has been able to because we've been obedient, Lord. Lord, thank you that.